Morning, everybody. Welcome to the early episode of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. This is the first time we've recorded this early in the morning.
I think we've done it one other time, like way back in the beginning, and then we said we weren't going to do that again.
This was out of necessity, simply.
Yeah, it's definitely
family,
necessity.
Family stuff comes first. So we kind of have to work our schedule around, you know, family, because cosplay is a weird and scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is our AllCon episode, so we will be reviewing everything that happened a couple of weeks ago. But first, we have announcements first. Why don't we start with what we've been working on, or at least in this case, what you've been working on and what I will be working on.
Okay. I don't have anything near me.
You can still talk about it.
So go to my Facebook page. It'll all be there. I'm just prepping myself for PAX East because that's about 2 weeks away for me. And it'll be lots of fun times and awesomeness. I know a lot of Southern cosplayers who are coming this year, so it's going to be a massive amount of insanity. There was a pun intended in there somewhere, I think. I don't know. I just finished up my Mass Effect costume, so I'm really happy about that. I've gotten a lot of good feedback. It was a pain in the butt to make, but I'm really happy. And I'm trying to bum rush through a Borderlands costume in 2 weeks. Not my brightest idea, but I figure, why not? I've got the materials already. It's a pretty simple bodysuit and leggings. I've made those in my sleep. I can make it happen. Sure, why not? I mean, let's see. Actually, let me see if I can pull this over. Because I'm going to be pinning things in our after session today. That'll keep me entertained and busy. But yeah, like, I made my leggings in, like, 6 hours over the course of the week. There we go. So yeah, that's basically what I've been working on. And then when I'm back from PAX East is when we'll get into super cosplay mode with Amber's and I's project. And then I've got a Final Fantasy thing to do. And I have a commission to make all before AllCon. Go me! Your turn, Amber.
You're so productive.
You know what? It's one of those things where when I know exactly what I need to get done, I can sew like the wind. Like, sewing does not bother me at all. It's when I move to the point of having to construct 3D objects out of things that are not fabric, it takes me forever. Yeah, so.
It takes us all forever. At any rate, I have actually not been working on anything because I was on call for the first time for work. So basically I was monitoring stuff 24 hours a day for most of it. And when you have to worry about the phone, it's difficult to, you know, sit down and work on cosplay. So now that I'm, you know, no longer on call, I will be plowing ahead with my AllCon stuff because I actually don't have a con between now and AllCon aside from Scarborough Fair. And as a Rennie, I already have a ton of Renaissance gear. I do not need to make more for the moment. I will be making more later. Because Simplicity came out with the Hobbit patterns.
I saw those. I saw those the other day when I had to randomly run into Joanne's and pick up a zipper that I needed desperately. I just happened to catch it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, oh!
It's like, they have Galadriel, and they have Thorin, and Balin, and Kili, and all sorts of fun stuff. And they brought back all the Lord of the Rings patterns, too, for Gandalf and Arwen.
Nerd.
They did not re-release the ones for Elrond, Legolas, and why can't I remember? Theodrin. No.
Why not Legolas? Isn't he in the recent Hobbit?
He is, but they did not release a pattern for the new costume that he wears, probably because there is a lot of armor.
But he was in the new one. That's a good time to just re-release the original pattern and make money off of it.
Oh, it is, and they may actually end up releasing it closer to Halloween.
Hopefully. That would be nice.
Yes, and I heartily approve. I may be making a trip to Joanne's this weekend because Simplicity patterns are on sale.
Yoink.
It's one of those things where when patterns are on sale for like a dollar or two a piece, you go and you stock up, whether you know what you're going to use it for or not, because you may end up needing it later. And for $2, I'm willing to let it sit in my closet if I'm not going to use it now.
Especially when it's something like, because you do so many Renaissance fairs compared to me, that's something I know you'll get use out of.
Yeah, and I end up using those patterns. Like, I use my Elrond pattern for, like, everything. I used it for UA. I used it for Lena. I used it for Deedlit. I use it for pretty much anything that has a tunic with a Mandarin collar, and then I just modify it because it's one of those you know, versatile patterns you can use for anything.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Renaissance. It works for a lot of anime too, since a lot of the genres I enjoy, fantasy and sci-fi, tend to use a lot of Renaissance-y, steampunky kind of clothing lines.
Sure.
That makes my life easier. Plus, it's like, you know, I could use a corset pattern for myself because, you know, I will eventually have to make a corset. And Simplicity has started coming out with historical patterns now because they had to follow McCall and Butterick and everybody else who already did it like 2 years ago.
Yeah. They're catching up now.
Yes. And so I'm actually going to be drafting my own corset pattern this weekend. I found a very solid website, and I'll post it in the show notes or on the post that we made for this show, where they actually show you basically how to make a sloper, which for those who don't know, it's a sort of basic pattern that can be used to modify and make several different styles of one piece of clothing, like shirts, blouses, pants. Well, this is for corsets. So I'm going to draft my own corset pattern and see how that goes. I have never done corsetry before.
Belle has!
So it's one of those where, you know, as a cosplayer, I need to learn new skills. I will learn corsetry this year, and I will work some more on drafting my own patterns, which I've done. Belle does it a lot more than me.
I
prefer commercial
pattern ever.
I have a paper box full of patterns because I prefer using commercial patterns and then modifying them.
I suck with commercial patterns because they never fit me even if I modify the crap out of them. So I just make my own.
And it works.
It works! Yeah.
As far as what I'm wearing to Akon yet, I had to drop the Final Fantasy one and I feel really bad about it.
That's okay. The timing on it is really terrible.
It was due to scheduling. We both have a panel basically right on top of the Final Fantasy photo shoot.
Yeah, and I have to be there. I don't have an option.
I have to teach my panel, so unfortunately I have to drop that cosplay entirely for Akon. So it may make a comeback later on for another convention in the year. So I will probably still do UA, so I need to buy a whole bunch of feathers and painstakingly attach every single feather to the 12-foot wingspan I have for UA. We have Secret Akon cosplay. I am bringing Erza because heaven knows I worked my buns off on that costume. And then something else I haven't really decided on yet. yes. Thank you, our buddy Sorceress Eris says, good luck, corsets are a pain. Very literally, when you have to wear them, if you've never worn a corset before, which I can attest to because I've worn a Renaissance corset before.
Depends on the corset, because since I've made my own now, and I've made two of them, and I'm going to be making a third one for our group costume, if it fits you properly, it doesn't hurt at all. I've actually been really comfortable in mine.
If you can get a good fit and a well-made corset, it tends to be a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I've had no problems. I mean, I'm not going to be jumping up and down in them, but for certain photos, I was able to squat, I was able to bend, I was able to do pretty much almost everything normally, and it didn't bother me in the least bit.
See, that's my issue. I do run and jump and do all sorts of things because I tend to wear not very feminine Renaissance costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to wear warrior-style costumes instead.
Sure, sure.
So I will be mostly working on that for the next 2 months, very frantically, since I still have to be on call for some weekends in May, and I still have my certification test, which will take up one of my weekends, too.
Right.
So, as for anything else, yeah, Akon kind of overrides everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. At this point, it's like Akon mode. And
pretty much. For you, it's PAX East. For me, I start Akon, like, this weekend.
Yeah, the second that I get back from PAX East, I'm going to be in full-on Akon work mode and commission mode. That'll be great. I need to rewrite my schedule.
Indeed. And so with that, let us make our other... Well, we do have upcoming segments in the show that I will kind of give users... Not users. I'm still in IT mode. Listeners.
Brain turn
watchers.
Off.
It's 10 a.m. in the morning.
It's fine.
To give our audience members a preview of what's coming up on the show, as we have a certified hairstylist who will be doing a wig cutting segment for us one of our good friends, actually came up and I talked with him about it. We also intend to do a very big interview. If you thought Kamui was big, we have another big one coming. So stay tuned for that. And we will be doing tutorials, at least I know for sure, on Mitered Corners and Warbla. As soon as I get the pattern done that I want to do for Warbla, then I will play with it. But it is so precious that I do not wish to ruin it. Let's see, I see we have a question in our queue that says, what is this about? And I will not mention the other word that was used, but this is a podcast for those who are listening to us for the first time, a podcast about costuming and cosplay, where we talk about, you know, how to make costumes, we talk to people that are, you know, up-and-coming cosplayers, and we do talk a lot about the philosophy of cosplay. So that is mostly what we are here to talk about, and of course to geek out and be our regular wacky weirdo selves. Which, we're twice as good at that early in the morning.
She called me weird.
I call myself weird too, so...
I'm trying to make a really bad pattern.
Take that as you will. It's not meant to be a backhanded compliment.
Totally is, though.
And, of course, we listed, you know, we don't have very many upcoming cons. So if you have a convention that you would like covered and you will happen to be there and have video and pictures, please send them to us and we can include them and talk about them in upcoming shows.
Thank you for reminding me. I need to link Clinton's on NakaCon on our page. I keep forgetting to do that. I'm so bad.
Yes, please let
me know
about
that. Thank you for the reminder.
Yes, as you know, we can't be everywhere at once, and there are literally multiple conventions going on every weekend around the world. So if you have coverage of it, please let us know, and we're happy to help feature it on the show. And that way everybody gets to share in the epicness that is conventions that we can't be at. And last announcement, and I'm really sorry I have been forgetting to do this. We had a listener send us a link through our Facebook, and it's for a website called Cost Trader, C-O-S Trader, all one word. And it's more or less a marketplace for commissioners and for new and used costumes that already exist to be traded for, you know, money or for other costume commissions. So I urge you to have a look at it, certainly. I do have some reservations about, I don't want to say security of the site, but just how the messaging system is handled, since there are less safeguards on it than, say, you know, Coscom.
Mm.
But I will say that, you know, I urge people to check it out and see if it's something that appeals to you. And this way you don't have to join a website like Coscom to be able to access the marketplace. There's not really very many marketplaces for costumes here in the U.S.
Not like there used to be.
Pre-made. Yeah.
Because Coscom has kind of taken a nosedive, so.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, you know, all you can really do is just contact other cosplayers and go, hey, I have this costume. Does anybody want to purchase it from me?
Yeah,
or does anybody want to trade so that I can have this piece of cosplay that I need to have made?
Yeah, there are a couple of Facebook groups that I've seen for, like, the DFW area. It's either that or you throw them up on Etsy. Hopefully you make a couple posts and somebody will end up buying it, then, because that's all I've been doing recently.
Which Etsy is probably your best bet at this point.
I like Etsy. It's so much safer than having to deal with eBay and PayPal. Oh, my goodness. I hate PayPal. We all know this very well.
No comment, since our podcast uses PayPal.
I don't care. I hate PayPal.
Which, incidentally, I do want to say a big thank you again to Alan, one of our listeners who donated to the show, because the donation is allowing us to purchase a FireWire drive for the show.
Yay!
And the reason that is a good thing, I know FireWire is not considered the most up-and-coming technology, especially compared to USB 3.0.
It was a couple years ago.
It was a couple of years ago. And this way we do not have to record to tape.
Mm-hmm.
As some of you may have noticed in some of our AllCon coverage, that we had a little bit of striping and interlacing issues, and that was because tape.
Mm-hmm.
We had to record to tapes that are, you know, fallible, for lack of a better word. A lot more fallible than a drive.
Yep.
Plus, we're limited on time when we record the tapes. You get 1 hour per tape, and then you have to switch tapes. So we are going to use some of our current funds to purchase a drive for the show so that we can have unlimited recording time, and then we don't have to worry about things like striping, at least until the drive dies, and then we get another drive.
And that'll take a long time, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Yes, that will take a long time. So hopefully we will be able to bring you guys, you know, better and better quality coverage.
As we start moving forward.
Alan, do not listen to this. If anybody else would like to donate to the show, I'm not saying you have to donate. I'm saying this is what your funds are used for. We really do use it to improve the show. We don't use it to, like, take ourselves out to lunch.
I don't think I've ever done that with you.
No, we have not. So I'm just saying that, you know, for those who would like to donate to the show, not you, Alan, you've already done enough. We're saying we appreciate it. We don't need any more. That we do use it for the show.
Yeah, most of the
we would be getting that before ACON.
Yeah, most of the stuff that we've bought prior to all of this even beginning came out of our personal funds. Like, I'm in the process of getting a new camera specifically for the show. So it comes out of our pockets.
Yes, the Canon, the accessories, you know, the tripods that we use, the microphones that we use, the webcams that we use, the cameras we use. Pretty much everything, including the cases that all this stuff goes in, and the lighting kit, and the audio recording kit, all of that came out of our own pockets. Which, we're not, you know, poor by any means, but sometimes, you know, this hobby isn't a very expensive hobby.
Just a smidge, especially with what we're spending so far on our own group
especially
costumes.
Since, you know, we want to give you guys good quality. We don't want to give you crappy quality footage, because there's really not much of a point in that. So, you know, we do try and give you guys good quality coverage, especially of cons like ACON, ALLCON, Fanime, PAX East, that sort of thing. The big cons that everybody wants to know about.
And Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
I'll be so happy to have my new camera with me. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And incidentally, if you guys would like to see us at your local con as guests, we are willing to travel to other cons. And, you know, we don't ask for very much in terms of being guests. So feel free to contact your local convention heads of cosplay and let them know that you would like to see us at your local convention. We are happy to come, provided it fits into our schedule and we're not already at another con that weekend.
Yeah, we teach panels. We also offer media services, too. So we're like a two-in-one deal.
Yes, we do.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally. Free media services. We will film your stuff for you and make fan vids.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we also do teach panels regularly at cons. You know, and we also both have awards to our name. Speaking of...
Oh, you want me to show mine off?
Uh-huh.
I'll do the twofer. Here's the twofer. So there's the baby one, and then there's the big, like, goblet of doom. Can I get both of them in the shot?
Val won two awards.
2 weeks ago. So awesome! Yeah, I got first place in the science fiction category, which is this thing right here. This is an awesome, awesome piece. I love this award. This is just cool in detail. Their theme this year was superheroes, so as
this
you can
see...
This was
new this year. They have not done this trophy in the past. This is a new trophy that they did.
New trophy. And then I got the Best in Show Grand Champion, which is the Uber Goblet from, like, you know, from Indiana Jones or something.
I still think it's Harry Potter because I want to see...
Harry Potter-ish, yeah.
I want to see... It's supposed to be the Goblet of Fire, which means I want to put alcohol in it and just light it.
No, thank you. But I will say that this is, like, this thing is heavy, man. This has got a nice, solid marble base to it. If there's ever the zombie apocalypse, this is going to be my weapon of choice if I run out of bullets in my shotgun. So there you go.
I see we have a question in the queue, and it says, if you're both in the contest, and I'm in the contest, who is going to tape the contest at ACON? Actually, that's me.
And yeah, we've done this before.
We did this for the last 2 years. And more or less what happens is that we get our place in line. You know, we're told you are number X. And they go up in segments. They'll say like 1 to 20, 20 to 40, etc. Until our segment is called, I sit in the press pit and film. When they call our segment, I have to let go of the camera and just let it run static in place while we go run up, get on stage, get off, and then I go sit back in the press pit again.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually at that point, Val goes and sits in the press pit and takes pictures.
Yep.
So you'll end up seeing, unfortunately, I mean, this is just the way it is, you guys will see a point in the film where it's static, where it doesn't pan and follow the costumers like it has been for the rest of the film, and that's because I wasn't there manning the camera anymore. I was getting up on stage. Unfortunately, that's just how to do it. Actually, I think it was last year, a really nice person. Oh, it was A-Fest, so it was 2 years ago.
It was A-Fest, because last year
really
I was manning
nice
the A-Con camera.
A really nice person actually reached up to my camera and was operating it for me while I was up on stage getting my award.
Which was really nice.
It was really nice of them, and I am actually very grateful to them for doing that, because otherwise it actually would have been a very chopped off shot from where I had to get up, because I didn't expect that I would be getting up to get an award for that
exactly.
particular one. So I was like, oh, okay, well, let me get up. So that's what's going to happen for Akon, and that's usually what happens whenever we have these things. If we're both in contest, we just kind of have to go with it.
Yeah, this year I will have, you know, my boy with me again, so I will try to show him very briefly how to pan and not tilt. We'll see how well that goes. He may be manning my personal camera, though, just to take photographs to add to our collection, so.
Yes.
But there's always at least somebody babysitting, even if they're not actually running the camera. We have somebody next to the camera to babysit it, so.
Right, and generally it's okay if we leave our equipment in the press pit, because press has their own equipment, and they kind of understand how it works.
Oh, yeah. We all have a mutual, you know, understanding of each other. Hey, can you wash my stuff so I go to the run of the bathroom? Sure, no problem.
Right.
And I mean, we're just...
Because we've done the same for other photographers.
Exactly. We get it.
We did it at AllCon.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, they kept us all in the green room last year. The only time we were close to the stage was when we were going on. Is it still doable? Yes.
Yes.
We actually have to make special arrangements with cosplay staff. And they have been accommodating of us in the past. And I did it last year at AKON before I walked up on stage as UA. I sat in the press pit, not in the green room. Everybody else was in the green room, like they were supposed to be. I was not.
Yeah, she came
and
out front
was,
with me.
I had to come sit out front for a little bit. And then basically once they called our segment, I had to get up from my seat, fold the massive wings that I was wearing, and kind of run behind stage back to the green room. And then once I was done, I went back out into the press pit.
Yep.
So they know about it. There will be AKON stage coverage this year. You know, we will take care of it as best as we can.
Yeah, not to worry. We'll be up front and then on the stage and then up front again.
Pretty much. And if we are lucky this year, since they do the costume contest, they give you your numbers in the order that you signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sign up early, you tend to get an early number. I think last year I was number 5. I was real
early. Oh, yeah. And
so
we signed up.
We signed up early this year. So I have a feeling we will be within the first 10, so we can just, you know, get on, get our stuff done, get off, go back in the press pit. Until we win something, if we win something, and then you'll see static again while we're up on stage, because we
exactly.
won't be there to operate said camera. unless I'm going to carry a remote control up on stage and pan with it, you know, which I'm not going to do.
Oh, that could be fun. Dude, that could be fun.
The only problem with that is that I don't have feedback as to where it's pointing. If I had a monitor facing me and I could see where it's covering, then I could do that with a remote control. Which
yeah,
I've tried to do with ours before.
The
remote control does not work on our Canon, incidentally. I've tried it.
Of course. Busted remote control. But that's okay. We got it at a steal.
Yes. I mean, I can always buy a new remote control if that's what we want. Or I can use Arduino and, you know, practice my programming skills and make one.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, you know, we will make arrangements. We have done this twice before, at least at AKON. We've done it at other cons, too. I actually did not enter All Cons contest. I could have, but I did not, because I knew that someone needed to film. So, you know, Val did her thing up on stage, and, you know.
Yeah, Amber knew, months and months in advance that I was going to be entering it, so.
Right. And I knew that she would not be able to do what we normally do, which is come off stage and operate camera. There is no way she was going to be able to come back into the press pit when she was done.
Hell no! Not just a no, but a hell no.
Yes, so I took the hit this time. and I did the camera. And it was worth it since you won your lovely awards.
We swap off. We yes. get it. We help each other out. Because I did it, what was it, not last year, but the year before when you entered your Arwen.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure one of us was recording everything. So totally worth
yes.
it.
Yes. And we have a comment that says, we signed up first thing Thursday morning, too. Maybe we'll be sitting near each other.
Oh, there we go.
Indeed. We probably will. Yeah. And usually, you know, everybody hobnobs in the green room anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And so you'll get to meet your fellow cosplayers. You may not necessarily recognize them, which I felt really bad doing for Sexy Cosplay last year.
Yeah.
I did not know that was them under the makeup, and I felt really bad for not recognizing them and saying hi.
You don't really know until you're like, what?
You don't know until they post the pictures later and go, yeah, that was me. And it was like,
how did that happen?
Was you?
Yeah, exactly. That happens all the time. And it's so funny is that I'm at the point where I know enough people in the convention settings that when they see me not in costume, they're always like, who are you? It must have been happening all of last weekend at All Kong. It was just like, I'm this person. Oh, you totally do not look like how I thought you would look like. I don't know if to take that as a compliment or not. It's just like, yeah, this is the normal hair.
Usually I point to the podcast at that point.
Yeah.
Just because I've never seen, like, most of the people that I'm friends with in real life that I know of. I've probably seen them and just did not know it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when I'm in costume and they don't necessarily recognize me, which is what happened with UA last year, people did not recognize me. And so then I pointed to the podcast and I said, this is what I look like in real life. Not in costume, and here's what I look like in costume.
Yep.
And when I'm in costume, I do not wear glasses. Unless, you know, I have to.
Yeah.
I try and take them off for photos if the photographer gives me enough time to take them off for the photo. If you're a photographer,
please give us time.
We do ask that you give us a moment, those of us that wear glasses, so that we have time to take them off for the photo. Because we're willing to. But if I do not have my glasses on, I literally have about that much vision in my face, so I have to wear them when I'm not in photos. Otherwise, I cannot see where I'm going.
Yay for being blind.
Yes. and unable to wear contacts, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because I have severe astigmatism in both eyes, and the contacts would move around. Not willing to deal with it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. So, we had AllCon a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And we had a fantastic time. So some
I
of
had
us
a super
had
fantastic
a really
time.
Fantastic. There you go. It was a 4-day con this year, and this was the first year they expanded out. This was their 10th anniversary as well, so you kind of had dual things going at the same time. And Val unfortunately had to work, so basically I covered the con Thursday and Friday with the exception of the contests.
Mm-hmm.
She was there for that. So if I were to start with Thursday and Friday, I would say, great idea to start the con early. However, attendance was very muted. And I think part of that is because it is kind of difficult for people to get off during the work week for a convention. You know, unless you make special circumstances, if you get it up with your boss first. But it was spring break as well. It was during the same week as spring break.
During a weekend of like 5 other cons at the same time that so many people were already attending.
Which I believe Matsuri was the same weekend.
It was Matsuri, there was Emerald Comic Con, there was another one, there was NakaCon, and then there was Planet Comic Con, which were where a lot of the Firefly cast members were. So needless to say, I know a lot of people who went there.
It was kind of a really difficult choice for a lot of cosplayers I know, because there are so many good cons going on that same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that AllCon is actually moving their weekend again next year. I believe they're going a weekend earlier for next year. It will still be 4 days, I believe. But, you know, attendance was very muted. And in a way, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because they're still holding it in the same hotel they've been holding it for the last several years. And it gets crowded when there's when there's Saturday and Sunday involved. It's very crowded. And if you have any sort of, you know, poofy costume or props, you run a very big risk of having damage just because there's just so many people. I mean, it's not that they mean to, it's there are that many people.
It's just that many people in very tiny, crowded hallways. And it's not like a huge hotel. It's a very small hotel. It's meant to be more of a business hotel, really, you know, for small meetings and whatnot. And I ended up having two handlers at one point because of that.
And I only had two complaints about the con, and they're meant to be constructive. And here's the first one, is that the panels were pretty much the exact same panels as last year, run by the same people with the same content. I think my constructive criticism would be, it's okay to have the same panels from the same panelists if they have new content. Otherwise, there's honestly no reason to reattend the same panel, especially since we filmed them.
Mm-hmm.
We have copies of these panels from last year. So we know it's the same content. And part of the reason that we go to panels is to learn. And we want to learn new things. Mm-hmm. And so my recommendation to those panelists would be, you know, change up the order a little bit and add new information, new and updated information, because techniques change and you may learn a new way of doing something, or products change. Mm-hmm. Especially when it deals with makeup.
Yeah.
And you can change your techniques based on the materials you're using. So that would be my recommendation to the panelists. I did attend a few of the panels on Thursday and Friday. And the ones that I filmed are, of course, up on our YouTube channel, which you can check. And I honestly, I kind of yearned for the new information. I really did, because the Wings panel specifically was one I was really looking forward to. I've built Wings before. I know how to build them. But I go so that I can see other perspectives, mm-hmm. so I can see how other people do it, so that I can learn and incorporate into my own style. And I felt lacking, you know. And it's not because they were bad presenters. It's just there was nothing new there.
It was the same panel that I attended last year, and I ended up not recording the entire thing, which I kind of felt a little bad about, but it was nothing new that either of us could learn from, and it was nothing that I felt that we could post online without people saying, hey, we've already had this panel from 2 years ago. Why we were showing the same panel again? So,
right. And actually, to that extent, both of us are looking at paneling next year for AllCon.
Mm.
We may be able to help offer content.
I could totally bring my paint bucket there. That's something I could easily do because I'm only 5 minutes away from the hotel.
Right. I was going to say it's a very local con for both of us. So we can bring supplies to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as cosplayers, we want to help give back to the community. So teaching panels is certainly one way of doing that. The other complaint that I have, and this is, again, this is constructive criticism. We want this to be fixed so that people have a better time, is that there were a lot of panel cancellations.
Pancels?
Yes, pancels.
Pancels. <For short. laughs> We'll make that the term now. Pancels!
Yes. There were panel cancellations. And
of them.
Many of them were not known about in advance. And I say in advance as in they did not post a note on the door saying this panel is canceled. Attendees went in, waited 10 or 15 minutes. When nobody showed up, they basically looked at their schedule, said, what else is going on, and left.
Mm.
Which meant that they wasted that time where they could have been in another panel entirely because nobody knew that that panel was canceled since the panelists never showed up. That happened more than I would have liked, particularly in the makeup panels.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were two two-hour makeup panels where the panelists just never showed. And that made me very sad.
Because we definitely want more makeup stuff, because I know that's one thing that we're lacking in our tutorials that we would love to have more of, because Amber and I are not makeup experts. I know how to do body paint, but I am not a makeup person at all.
In fact, if we have a listener who is in theater or does professional makeup, please let us know, because we would love to have tutorials, not only for our own sakes, but for everybody else's sake.
Or even just to talk to you about certain techniques, even simple things like how to conceal a blemish, because that would be awesome.
I mean, we know very basic makeup, like daily makeup
Very
stuff.
basic, yeah.
Not like cosplay makeup.
Heck
So,
no.
feel free to contact us if you do this sort of thing on a professional basis, or if you are in, professional school, like aesthetic school, to be able to help us out with this. That would be fantastic. I did film one of the makeup panels because the panels did show up. And so that's also on our YouTube channel if you would like to watch. So those were pretty much my only two, things that I would like to have fixed for next year, is to have more informative content, or at least different content, and to have communication to the attendees when a panel is canceled, so that we can make arrangements, especially as press, because it literally takes me about 15 minutes to set up our equipment per panel for now, until we get the FireWire drive, and then it will be less. So I have to have that time to set up. And
Right.
if I don't film the panel, that's another 15 minutes of tearing down, and then another 15 minutes of setting it back up for another panel. So, we would love it if those things were addressed for next year. That said, oh my God, cosplayers everywhere.
I got a lot of pictures this time, even though my camera is kind of crapping out on me. A lot of pictures.
I think we would probably say that a good 70 to 75% of people were in costume of some sort. And I'm not joking. Literally, three out of every four people were in costume that we saw.
And it's everything from like the super like overkill dress-up costumes to just casual wear. I mean, everything in between. You name it was probably there.
Indeed. And it wasn't just the adults, it was the kids.
Lots of kids. Oh my goodness.
They had like little babies in strollers in kids. In fact, one of our friends brought their little boy dressed up as Meowth, which was
So cute.
darling. And there were little kid Deadpools, there were little kid Anakin Skywalkers, there were, all sort there were little kid ballerinas. There were all sorts of things that we saw there. There was even a little girl Thor.
Which I missed. I wish I could have seen that.
I only saw her two times, and both were in passing. One was while driving, so I obviously couldn't stop and take a picture.
Right.
And the other was while I was filming. So again, I couldn't stop and take a picture. But I was really happy to see that, as corny as this sounds, they're starting the next generation off right. I would love it if cosplay just became a normal thing. Not a weirdo thing, not something that only geeks and nerds do, but just it's just as normal as putting on regular clothing and walking through a convention. I would love that. And to start the kids off that way is a good step in that direction. Plus,
Hopefully,
it's fun for them too. The kids really seem to enjoy it.
let's say, hopefully, like 10 years down the road, they're like, Mom, Dad, I need to go to a psychiatrist. You have given me so many mental issues here. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Like, hopefully, it doesn't turn into that.
Or they'll end up being like us, and they grow up and they make podcasts about doing it.
Exactly. It's either one extreme or the other.
Yeah, or they do it on a regular basis. But I loved the fact that there were so many cosplayers, and the level of cosplay just keeps getting better and better there.
Alcon is serious business on Saturday, man. It's like costume haven.
It really was, and not only provided a good outlet for pictures, but the cosplayers as a whole are really friendly,
Oh,
willing to talk to
yeah.
you people. So if you want to ask them about how they did something on their costume, they're happy to stop and talk to you about it, as long as they're not, in a hurry to be somewhere. In
Or
fact,
blocking hallways.
the Predator cosplayer had stopped and talked to us for a little bit, about the LEDs that they had embedded in their helmet, which I found fantastic. And I see a question in our queue, and I know there is a question about which cons you would go to if you're totally new to cons. We'll answer that, after we're done with AllCon. I did want to mention a couple of things about the championship costume contest, which was new this year.
It was very new this year. I actually want to talk about the contest in general because I think there's definitely some room for improvement.
Why don't we go there, since that basically is Thursday, Friday, Saturday night?
It pretty much, yeah. I don't know. Am I going first or are you going first?
Oh, you can go first. The only thing I was going to do is basically introduce the segment and go, okay, this was new this year. They brought back the anime costume contest on Friday, which is not con-sponsored, incidentally. It is sponsored by Mu Epsilon Kappa.
Yeah.
So it is not all con-run. And then they had the Saturday costume contest, which is normally the one everyone thinks of. Mm-hmm. That one is sponsored by AllCon.
Right.
And the AllCon contests are the ones that have the cash prizes. MEK tends to do anime gift bundles.
Right. Because it's more anime oriented.
Yeah, that's how you know how to differentiate between them. So those are the three costume contests that they held this year. If you see our footage, championship costume is the one Thursday, anime costume is the one Friday, main costume is the one Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it is all for you.
As I take a swig of water. Okay. For our first year with the championship costuming contest, this is the one where people had to pre-register online. They had to pay a deposit in order to get their slot reserved. They had all these crazy rules and regulations.
They had to document everything.
And it's one of those where there was only one winner, and it was a $1,000 cash prize, which is cool, and it's great. And it's really meant for those people who are uber creative. It's not meant to be like replicate something, but almost like original character design and see how crazy and awesome you can get with it. And given the parameters, there were only five contestants. I felt like maybe they were a little too strict on some of their rules to have so few people show up.
I'm not even sure. I think people might have taken it to be more strict than it was.
And that may have been the case.
It was intimidating.
It was very intimidating.
It was very intimidating if you read it.
Especially when they initially released the rules with how much time there was left before the convention. It was only like 3 or 4 months, and I was like, there is no way I can get a costume of that caliber and work on my Amidala costume at the same time in that 3 to 4 month span. It's just not going to happen. And I thought what was interesting also was that one of the rules is you have to be able to put the costume on by yourself, and you only have an hour to do it. They want to see you in your normal plain clothing, then they give you an hour to change, and that includes putting on any prosthetics and body makeup and all that type of stuff. So I was like, holy crap.
Which that limits...
take like 3 hours.
That limits to an extent what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because some techniques and some things, like armor is very difficult to put on by yourself.
Absolutely.
Any kind of armor. Unless it's like gauntlets. Those you can do yourself. Pretty much everything else, you really need help to be able to fit it properly so you can move and sit and go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
And I know that one of the contestants had 10.5-foot wings.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put those on by yourself, realistically.
Nope.
I mean, even with prosthetics, you can put them on yourself, but doing that plus the rest of your costume in an hour is insane. So, you know, that was a really hard requirement.
Yeah, it's difficult to meet, especially when you want to try to do something so over the top and so great that you feel is worthy of $1,000. And it's like, well, how do I make that happen if I only have an hour to put on a costume? You know, that cuts out armor, that cuts out doing this, that cuts out doing that. Especially if you need to do, like, full-face prosthetics, that stuff takes a long time to settle and sit on your skin. I was impressed by the... What was she? Stump fairy. Stump fairy. Thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. The fact that she actually did makeup on her face and she had some prosthetics. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive for the short time frame they had to actually get the stuff on their body.
She had full face paint too.
She did. She did a really good job. I liked her work. The fact that she actually crocheted some of her stuff, that made me happy. The contestants definitely did the best they could, and I'm not faulting any of them. I think for given the rules and what was they had to get done in that short time frame, I mean, that was pretty cool. But I'm thinking because it had such a low attendance this year, maybe they probably end up tweaking some of the rules and make it something where more people can actually sign up for it and we get a bigger pool of contestants. Because I think there's a lot of great talent in the area, and we just couldn't get to all of it because of how insanely difficult those rules were.
And I think after seeing the contest, a lot of us were like, we could have done that.
And I could have ran home and put on my Benny Sato costume.
Yeah, that's not to denigrate the costumers that were there. It's that had we known about it, that it was going to, that this was what they wanted.
Exactly.
That a lot of us have those sorts of things already in our costume menagerie. And I also think that while the $1,000 is a fantastic incentive, it also makes you feel that much worse if you are second place because there is no prize for second place.
Yep.
In a way, I wish they would break up the prize to where it was like 500, 300, 200.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking.
A very, very nice incentive.
500 bucks especially is professional. A lot of money.
Oh, 500 bucks would get you a costume.
Yeah.
In fact, it might reimburse you for said costume. And that way there's at least, you know, not quite the same feeling of, like, great, I just wasted my time because I didn't win anything, and you have to pay money to get in and spend all this time in your costume.
Exactly.
So, you know, it would be nice if they could spread the compensation or just, you know, give trophies to second and third place or something.
Or something.
So that it's just not all or nothing, which I know, it's championship, I know, but a couple of tweaks would probably help them out.
Yeah, and it was their first year, so I mean, I get it. It's one of those things where, hey, here's the trial run, let's see how it goes. Maybe they'll bring it back next year with some new tweaks to it, so... I do have to say one thing I really appreciated from the judges that they said afterwards is, hey, we'd like for all the contestants to say because we have feedback for you guys. I would love to get judging feedback. Oh, my God. Please give me more of that. That made me really happy. And I was like, if I was a contestant, I didn't care if I won at that point. I would love to have feedback. Oh, my goodness.
Note that they did that off mic. It was,
but I'm a nerd, so.
It was purposely something we could not hear in the audience. They did not want us to hear it. So they privately met with the contestants and gave them the tips, which was very nice. And I think part of the reason they could do that is because there were so few people. You could not pull that off at a convention like AKON.
Oh, heck no.
So there was that. Speaking of low attendance, the anime costume contest.
Anime costume contest, which I feel so bad for Mocappa. I know it's not their fault, and it gets smaller and smaller every year. I think if they moved it, or if they could move it, to Saturday at some point, even if it's early in the day or like early in the afternoon, they would get a much bigger turnout. But that Friday evening, like right as people are getting off work in the worst possible traffic time possible, in all the construction around the area, it's like, no, there's no way. It's impossible.
You pretty much had to have already been at the con for most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three contestants. Three. And after those of us in the audience saw that there were only three, because they didn't announce that in advance, we were like, well, we could have competed.
Yeah.
We were under the impression there were a lot more contestants, which is why some of us didn't want to rush home, grab a costume, and come back and sign up. We figured they were taken care of. And then once we saw that, it was like, I could have literally run home, thrown on one of my costumes, you know, over dinner and come back, and I could have, you know, helped them out by competing so there's more contestants to choose from.
And it's nothing to fault against the people who did compete, because, I mean, they all had really nice costumes. I love that Lynx Keyblade. That Keyblade was so cool. I love the Keyblade so much. And I saw her the next day, and I was like, weren't you the person in the Lynx costume with the Keyblade? And we talked about it for like 10 minutes. It was the coolest thing ever.
It was a really creative idea. I loved the execution.
Mm-hmm.
So I did feel kind of bad about, you know, it being so short, because the contest itself, I think, was a grand half hour.
Yeah, if that.
And they had a full hour or two slot that it was just nothingness after that, because there was nothing left. It's like, I wish I could help you guys, but I didn't know.
Yeah, and from us, from our perspective, it's not, oh, we can go up there and we could do better. It's more, we wanted to give them more content.
Right. We want it to be longer than a half hour, and to, you know, part of the point of the competition is not just the competition, it's to show off costumes. It's to, you know, show off characters, and the
exactly.
audience likes seeing that. It's why so many people spend 5 hours waiting in line. at ACON to see the costume contest. It's not just for the competition. It's to see the awesome costumes. So, you know, a lot of us just kind of looked at each other going, we wanted to see more costumes.
Yeah, that's really
all. We loved the ones that were there. We want to see more of it.
We want to see more.
Right. Especially since I know a lot of people did rush home from work on Friday night to see it.
Hi!
I was there all day. I took off of work so I could film it, but I know a lot of people who did literally rush home and, you know, try and get into the room to be able to see the contest.
Through 2 hours of construction. Woo! Yeah.
So now that we know, I think a lot of Metroplex cosplayers are like, yeah, I'm going to enter next year.
I think I will just, if anything, just to be like, hi, I don't care if I don't win anything. You don't even have to give me a prize. I just want to give you more things to run up on the stage and do something. Right. You know, I want to help out somehow.
Right. Which is maybe, kind of the whole point.
Yeah. Maybe if we kind of nudge them and push them into consideration, be like, hey, is there any way we could move this to like a Saturday event or even a Sunday event? Sunday keeps them busy too. So I don't know.
They might, I don't think they will allow them to move it.
Probably. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't think they want the conflict with the main costume contest, especially since some people enter both.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday is for superheroes. So unless they're going to switch superhero and anime from Friday and Sunday, I think Saturday is pretty much off limits.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to kind of put the word out and say, hey, guys, enter, seriously. We just want more costumes.
Right, which I think they'll get more of next year, now that people kind of saw what happened. It's like, you know, I would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that will be fixed next year.
Hopefully so.
I'm fairly certain that will be fixed next year.
And I know you and I will be preaching to everybody, hey, show up in a costume. Just show up, please.
Assuming we don't show up in costumes ourselves to set the example. You know?
Exactly. With our tousled hair as we're coming in from work.
Oh, no. You know, I would have taken the day off anyway just because I don't necessarily want to have to worry about that. I mean, I would have happily brought Yue up on stage. Mm. So there was that. And then Saturday costume contest, which is always, always the most popular of the three.
Always packed. It was uber packed this year. They changed the seating.
It's always standing room only. Mm-hmm. It is always standing room only in that room.
Yep. And they changed the way things were set up this year, because usually the judges are like on the stage with us. This time we had the entire stage. And what was funny is that when we were in the green room, quote unquote green room, which is actually an ugly gray room with yellow lighting, they said, you know, the judges will be on stage again, so I was like, okay, cool, same setup. But when we actually looked out onto the stage, and I was standing with a couple others who were like, wait, the judges moved, they're not on stage, they're down in the front. What the? No, so I knew that took away a couple of seats, but they changed the arrangement of the seats this time, that it seemed like they got more people in, because it looked a lot crowder than normal.
They also stacked the chairs a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
There was a smaller walkway up the center where people were going. And logistics issues aside, which you can tell in the vid, if you watch the vid, you can tell they had logistics issues. I think it was just a fluke of the moment thing, which is fine. It was funny. But it ran very smoothly.
Yeah.
I was very happy with that. The host was very, you know, engaging and jovial. She kept it moving.
Tabitha is fantastic. I love her.
I liked that she asked each contestant if they had anything to say, which was funny.
Did she ask that of me? Because I could not hear.
I don't remember offhand,
I don't think
to be
so.
Honest. But I remember her asking almost every contestant. There were some that they didn't, because the contestant just got on and then got off, which...
I had a funny enough intro, which I don't think I had to worry about, but those egg things, I was like, everything's muffled. I can't hear crap.
I will say, cosplayers, please, for the love of all that is holy, stand still on stage long enough for us to take a photo.
For the love of crap, please. Please. Photographers will be really happy when you do that.
And when they ask you to twirl, that does not mean go as fast as you can. The reason they ask you to twirl is so that they can see the back of your costume. So if you turn a little more slowly, they'll have time to see the details. Unless you don't want them to see the details, in which case you don't have to spin at all. But it also makes for terrible pictures when we're trying to take a photograph of you moving, because all you see is a blur.
If anybody would like to
see, details.
Yeah, if anybody would like to go to our YouTube page and see a panel that I hosted specifically about cosplay performances and walking a runway, I give lots of great examples of using myself as the dummy, both good and bad, on what you should and should not do. So please visit our YouTube.
Yes, and we will probably do a short segment on the show about this as we get closer to AECOM.
Yeah, we meant to start do something today, but both of us were like, it's 10 a.m., we don't want to dress up.
We would have had to get in costume, which is a little difficult, unless we have planned for it.
Yeah, we'll do it eventually.
Like there is a question in our Q&A. It says, the judges were on stage when we competed a few years ago, which I was one of those in that year, and it felt like we had to ignore the audience. Yes.
Yes, that was one thing I disliked.
Did you feel like you were able to be more natural on the stage without them up there?
Yes and no, but for me, because I've done this enough times, I always pre-practice my routine, so I kind of already knew exactly how I wanted to walk up the stage to both entertain the audience and the judges, because I assumed the judges were going to be in the same position. So I was like, okay, if I stand this way, judges will get this portion of my costume. Everybody in the audience will get this portion of my costume. When I do this, they'll see this part and they see this part. Now, because I had to play to the audience, I had to think on the fly, okay, I got to completely re-coordinate how I'm going to do everything now. Crap!
Right.
So that was a little challenging, but I had enough knowledge. I was like, okay, because they're right front and center, I was able to turn a little bit more so they could see the beating detail in the back, and I was like, all right. So I don't know if it was more natural, but it felt more rushed to me because I had to re-coordinate in my head, which sucked. It seemed natural to me. I mean, I watched the video, and I was like, oh, okay, I did a pretty decent job. Good.
And that's one of the things you have to worry about when you compete, is you have to cater both to the judges and to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the judges are judging you. And I found that out the hard way, that you can't just cater to the audience. You have to let the judges see your work, which I was actually, you know, I had to be prompted. I think that was my first, or I think it was my second time ever competing, so I didn't know any better. But you have to allow them to see your work as well as being in character for the audience. And sometimes that's a really fine line to walk.
It can be, yeah. And most contests, the judges are usually front and center, or they're like, here's the runway, and they're like right here. AllCon's one of the odd ones where you actually have the judges on stage. So it's almost like you have to think of a different setup to cater to both of them.
The setup makes a big difference, yeah.
Yeah, so it's easier when the judges are out front with the audience, but because I was going into it thinking one way and had to flip on the fly a different way, it kind of threw me off at first.
Which, the level of cosplay this year was awesome in the costume
contest. There was a lot of cool stuff. Just being able to sit in the back and standing in line and looking at them up close, I was like, dude, this is great.
It was, and people are constantly raising the level of what's expected as a baseline mm-hmm. to be good.
Like I said, AllCon costume contest, people throw down. There is no joking about it. They go all for it.
Yeah, the cash prize is $200, but people seriously, you know, like you said, they throw down for that $200.
Hell yeah, we do. And even like their new category, what was it? It was like, it wasn't casual cosplay. It was like, oh crap, what was it?
They did one for monsters this year.
They did one for monsters, which was really cool. That, I don't even know what it was, but just looking up close at his work, I was like, this is nifty. I thought for certain he would like beat me out just because of how detailed it was. It was so cool.
Oh, that the Predator.
No, not the Predator. It was, he was like a weird demon gargoyle thing.
Oh. He was in one of the horror categories.
Yeah.
I want to say the character was Diablo.
Maybe? I don't know.
I think this is what he called himself.
But it was cool. And his wings moved and everything. It was like, damn.
Yeah, you could see the strings on his thumbs. You could see them as he pulled down. And I was like, I know how those work.
That's how you do it.
They had a lot more competitors in the kids category this year because they do have a children's category. And the kids are getting better about being kids.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them are not old enough to know how to, you know, be in character yet. So most of the time they just sit there and look cute.
Which is really all we ask of them.
And then they'll just sit there and kind of interact with the other cosplayers. Which, if you get the chance, watch the very end when they do the awards for the kids. The awards portion for the kids was hilarious.
Yeah.
So watch that if you get the chance. I want to say my favorite costume that I saw, and this was just the kid in me screaming for joy, were the Oscar
and his girlfriend. Yeah, Scotty and Courtney are awesome, awesome people. Like, I didn't even realize it was them at first until I happened to walk down the hallway and they popped up. And they started talking to me and I was like, wait, Scotty, I know you're in there, but I'm going to keep playing along like I don't know who you really are. They are such sweet, sweet, awesome people. I love them.
For those who weren't at AllCon, they set up their trash cans in the hallway. They did not tell anybody what was going on. So you would walk by and randomly they would pop out.
They were props at first.
Exactly. Most people just thought they were sitting there. And all of a sudden you'd see these, you know, Muppets pop out and start talking to you or doing things. And it was awesome in a way. And it was like, yeah, that's really cool. I dig it.
It's a simple idea, but you know, it's little things like that that make everybody's convention. I mean, they put smiles on everybody's faces. That and the turtles. Thank you, turtles.
There were really, really good Ninja Turtle costumes there at the con.
Oh my god, and the fact that Donnie showed up, that's all that made my day at that point. I was like, I don't care what happens. I got my picture with Donatello. Makes me happy.
If they had entered those in the costume contest in the 2D and comic category, I think they would have won the category.
Probably so, but they do it as a professional entertainment services, so they don't enter contests with them.
Well, being professional did not stop particular costumes from being entered in the contest.
Oh, true, sure, sure. But for them, they do it more for entertainment purposes. It's not meant for, you know, winning awards.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really awesome costumes, oh my goodness. With no ventilation system and no cooling system either, those poor guys.
It's a really important thing if you have a full, I don't want to say full face mask, but basically if you have a full costume like that, ventilation is really important for your health.
Just why I had a fan with me.
Right. If you don't have the know-how of being able to put in an electronic fan, little computer fans, baby things, to help draw the air out and or push air in to keep you cool, you can always ask the Makerspace guys. Thursdays are social nights where they don't necessarily charge admission, where you can go in and socialize, talk with the guys, you know, do what you need to do, and they can help you. And I know there's a lot of cities that now have Makerspaces. Plus, they have 3D printers now.
Or the other favorite thing I love to do is troll the 501st forums. They have, I mean, pretty much every Stormtrooper outfit now is set up so it has a ventilation system and it has a cooling system. And they will help any cosplayer. They're not just about Star Wars costumes. They will talk to you about any costume. Feel free to ask them any questions. They're all really super nice and really helpful.
The RPF.com is also a fantastic resource for general costuming. Yes, they have specific costumes. They have, you know, threads for specific costumes. They do mostly a lot of armoring and Pepakura for things like Halo, Iron Man, that sort of thing.
Right.
But they do have general areas where you can pretty much ask anything. I was on there the other day just searching Warbla.
Yeah. Big-ass sheet of it.
Well, it's one of those things where when you get a new material, I mean, it's not like you have to sit there and read the material data safety sheet. Or the material safety data sheet. You don't have to do that for every single material you have. But it's good to know what the material's capable of, how I'm supposed to shape it, what safety considerations I need to be aware of, and most importantly, how the heck do you cut the stuff?
Yeah.
Having a giant sheet of something isn't worth very much unless you can actually cut shapes out of it. So, mostly I just wanted to do research since I haven't played with Warbla itself as opposed to other thermoplastics like styrene. Mm-hmm. Just so I could see, you know, how is it different? How do I work with the stuff? It's one of the nice things about learning from other people is they've done it before. They've made the mistakes. They can tell you what to do. Yes, this is why we film most of what we do, and you'll notice I don't ever edit any of my segments, and I don't think Val does either when we have mistakes. We leave
I only
them there.
Edit when I turn off the camera. That's it.
Yeah, we pretty much we leave our mistakes out there so people can see what happens. And that's for the learning experience, which incidentally, I will be overhauling the website. I don't know if it will be by Acon. It will probably be after Acon at this point. But our tutorials page is going to turn into a resources page. So that tutorials will still be there. They may or may not still be listed by category simply because I want to say the site is simply cosplaytutorials.com.
Mm-hmm.
Has them all by category already. So I don't want to duplicate their work. So instead, I will simply list generic overarching websites. I will link you to their tutorial page where it has them all listed. Just go there and search for what you need. But what I also intend to do is start accumulating a list of suppliers.
Oh, okay.
Everything you could possibly want for cosplay. Everything from strapping to buckles, armoring materials, hardware, power tools, 3D printing services. Pretty much anything you could need for cosplay, I want to basically compile a giant list of where you can get this stuff for the cheapest price.
Gotcha.
Or alternatively, for the best service.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more for that. So incidentally, if you guys have favorite suppliers for things like wigs, styling accessories, you know, basically anything with cosplay where you have a regular supplier that you really like, then please send them to us as I will be compiling that. And I already have a pretty massive collection of my own links.
Who doesn't?
But there are some areas where I do not have a regular trusted supplier where I don't know where I would get these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like prosthetics. I don't ever purchase prosthetics. I wouldn't know where the heck to start. So this is something where you guys can help us out. So please help, and I will be remodeling that, you know, whenever I have time and I'm not frantically costuming.
Sometime eventually, maybe. Don't know when.
But other than that, you know, they've already got the 2015 page up for AllCon next year. They've already started next year's stuff.
They're usually right on top of it.
Yes, and they're one of the few cons that actually puts out their ongoing schedule months in advance.
In advance, yeah.
They literally have their con schedule up by like October or November. And the con isn't even until March. It does change periodically. I mean, sometimes it can change multiple times in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like having the con schedule early so I have a general idea of what's going to go on when, so I can start, you know, planning out my press docket and start getting together what costumes I want to wear what day. That's really helpful. Other cons should think about that.
Good luck with that.
Anime Fest could start.
Anime Fest has a lot of things that they could start, but we're not going to go down that path.
Yes.
Happy thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah, AllCon was fun this year. I enjoyed it. But it's one of those things, it's small hangout con. I mean, you know, you go to a couple panels, you might go troll the dealer's room, but really it's about getting together with your friends, relaxing, and just enjoying being there with other nerds. I think that's the thing I love about it.
I want to say I had a nerdy guilty pleasure in the dealer's room. I only go into the dealer's rooms at cons to basically look around. Mm-hmm. I never intend to buy anything from a dealer's room, ever. I will buy it from their website if I really want it. And that's just generally because you have boosted prices at cons, and that's to cover the price of your table and your admission. I understand that. I know how business works. I'm cool with it. I just have to be very careful with my budget. So I go in to basically window shop with the understanding I will not buy anything. And then I went into AllCon's dealer room. It's all the nice fancy things. You know, they pretty much have the same vendors every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the group that had the 3D printers.
Yeah, yeah.
I nerded out so hard.
That was awesome.
And while the printers are not fast enough to be able to crank out orders on the spot, where you could just pay them and say, I want a Triforce pendant.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably take a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of 3D printers. I loved the concept. Yes, they were not actually selling printing services there. They were selling the printers themselves, and they were selling rental services.
Rental services, which is cool.
The guys that were there were all about the printers themselves and the materials being made in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the prices were a lot higher than, say, MakerBot.
Right.
It's because it was made here. But I loved the fact that for $120, you can rent one for a week. So you could get a group of your cosplayer friends together with the designs that you need printed, pay the money, and have everything done for the week.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody, because you could leave it going, you know, as long as you need it to, as long as it doesn't overheat, and just get everything done. And it's like, that is the most awesome idea, where you could basically just crowdsource it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's really cool. I was very happy. And I've been pretty good about not buying things in the dealer's room lately, but I bought one thing. I had to buy this because I have not seen this pattern since I was like 8 years old. And this is going to go perfect with my April O'Neil costume. It's a lovely bag I can set on my back when I'm wearing my costume at Dragon Con. I'm like, oh my God, these were like my bed sheets when I was 8 years old. I have not seen this in forever. It was worth the $10, and I was more than happy to give it to them. It was, oh my goodness. Because, man, this pattern alone, literally, this was my bed sheet pattern. Literally, these were my bed sheets. And I have not seen this in years, and it probably would have cost me more just to buy this, the actual material, than to make it. So, thank you! But yeah, that was my geek out moment, and seeing the 3D printers in action. Not the best smell in the universe, but oh my goodness, that was cool.
Melted plastic will never smell good, just because of what it's
made. Yeah.
Which, this is not something that will necessarily be Cospod related, but I am saving up funds after Acon to get a 3D printer. I was going to get one before
oh,
now.
Lord.
I was going to get a MakiBox. MakiBox. If anyone wants to Google it, they do sell MakiBoxes. The issue that I have with them is that the quality is not very good from what
right.
I've seen on their forums. They are cheap. They are $300.
That's the cheap end.
They do exactly what they are intended to do, but you also have to buy the filament.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Google just did an update that basically broke their OS because they run on open source software.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of their users basically have to use workarounds because Google broke their OS with their latest update, and there's no software support, more or less, from them. They're basically like, well, we don't program this stuff, but we can give you workarounds. And it's like,
right.
If I'm going to pay that kind of money for a printer, I don't want to be left with a really nice paperweight if the OS breaks, because I'm not a programmer. Yes, I can program. Yes, I can read code. Yes, I can work with code. That does not make me a programmer.
Right.
Driving a car does not make me a race car driver. You know? So I may as well spend the money, get a nice printer that has custom software, that has software support, so that I can really learn how to use it. And then I can print off a lot of these things that I need, like jewelry for characters. I can print that on a bed. Or if I need to mold something, I can print myself a mold. And eventually, I will be able to recycle my plastic. And then I do not have to buy a filament. Because if you thought sewing thread was expensive, try buying plastic filament.
Oh my goodness, that stuff's expensive.
Plastic filament is $35 for 1 kilogram. $35! That does not include shipping.
It's a cool and nifty idea, and I think eventually down the line a lot of stuff will be made this way, but right now it's expensive. It'll take time before it gets affordable.
I'm waiting for the day when they will be able to take plastic out of the trash and recycle it into filament.
And it'll happen. It will happen.
Yeah, because that would be a lot less waste for one, and it would also make the filament a lot cheaper.
Yep.
Yes, there's quality issues. That's what science is for. Science.
Science.
We will work it out. But with that, I believe we will call it end to this episode, this lovely episode 59.
We'll be there again next year.
Archon was fantastic. We will be back next year, possibly as panelists, possibly as costume competitors. We will see. Otherwise, if you guys need to reach us, social media.
Social media.
You can literally Google us, and we are pretty much the entire first page of results if you Google
CrossPod. We're the first three pages of results, lady. We got so much crap up there now, we are like Google-fied.
Yes, and we would like to say a major thank you to all of the listeners that have been with us thus far. You are breaking our bandwidth limits. That is fantastic. You are breaking our page views. That is also fantastic. I am hoping that is enough to get us in as press for San Japan. We will find out. I'm going to send them a screenshot of our stats. So please help us keep up those stats for when I send these over to see if it's enough to get us in as press. And we are going to do our best, but thank you, thank you, thank you for staying with us. And to end, I would like to say a fond farewell, and I am sad to do this, to our buddies over at CosCast.
Yeah, I'm going to miss them. They kept me entertained.
They ended their podcast run after two fantastic years of podcasting about cosplay and costuming. They still have their page up. You can go find them over at Nerd Reactor's site. Their email address is still up for a little while. I would download their shows if you can and just hang on to them so that you can listen to them in the future, as they are very entertaining shows.
They really are.
And go follow the guys on their Facebook and Twitter. They are really great people in real life. So, you know, as a fellow costume podcast, we wish them all the best, and we say a fond farewell. We're really sorry you guys are leaving us, but we hope that your costuming endeavors go really well in the future. And you're always welcome on the show.
Don't forget the Nerf guns.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.